All right, well, turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And we're just going to start with one verse. This is going to kind of be a platform verse of what we're getting into for the next 2, maybe 3 weeks. We are in our series of we began with apologetics, a couple weeks in apologetics. Now we're getting into certain specific topics. And Acts 20 is where we're going to start this evening. So let's stand together in honor of God's word. And we'll read this. Acts 20, verse 21. Would you read it out loud with me? Ready, begin. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So the title of the message tonight is, to repent or not to repent? That is the question. All right. And with God's help, we're going to answer that tonight. Our God and Heavenly Lord, I pray you'd help me and help us to open our hearts to your word. Lord, may be glorified and honored through everything said and done and how we respond to it. Lord, may you work despite myself and my shortcomings, my failures. Help us to listen despite our shortcomings, our failures. It's amazing that you would save us. It's amazing that you would love us. It's amazing that you would continue to show grace and mercy to us each and every single day. And even though many of us may have sinned this week, today, you still care enough to continue to talk to us, Lord. So there's a lot of needs here tonight, no doubt. And this may seem to be focused on one thought, but really this idea is for the unsaved, for the Christian alike. And God, I pray that you'd help us to realize the need of it in our lives as well. And Lord, how important it is. It's in your word, no doubt about it. It's clear. It's in your word. It's not a side note. And Lord, you put emphasis on it in many places. Lord, I pray you'd help us to see the importance of it and to think biblically tonight and not to be skewed by past thinking or raising, but just to be open and sensitive to your word and take it as it says. Lord, I pray you'd help us. And you say, amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated at this time. I'm going to be honest with you. Repentance is one of the most talked about, argued about, and misunderstood doctrines in Christianity. It is a doctrine, by the way, in the Bible. It is something that is there without a doubt. And you can get 10 Christians in a room, and all of them can carry the same Bible. And you might hear, I'm not going to say 10 different explanations, but maybe, but several different explanations of what repentance is, what it isn't, and whether it's even necessary for salvation. And here's the thing. The Bible, as I just mentioned praying, the Bible does talk about repentance a lot, not just once or twice or in passing. In fact, repentance shows up over 100 times in Scripture. 100 times tells me that's not a side topic, right? And also tells me it's something God wants us to understand. And so I want to walk through what God actually says about repentance. What God says about repentance, right? Not what YouTube says, not what a movement says, or some personality, or some camp of even Baptists might say. What does God say? And I don't think we are coming at this. My prayer has been, God, help me not to come at this to defend a position I already hold or to win an argument that shouldn't be our desire. And we can be easily tempted to begin that way. And we don't want to begin that way. I don't want to chase controversies. I want to understand truth. Amen. And I don't want to come into the series with the goal of proving a conclusion. I do have conclusions. And I think all of us do, but my goal isn't to force my conclusion on you. I'm praying God helps me with that My goal is to study the Bible in context and allow the Holy Spirit to lead and the Bible speak for itself. If repentance is in the Bible, and it is, then it is something that God wants us to understand. And we want to know what God means by it. If repentance is tied to salvation, and it is, then we want to understand how. And if repentance is misunderstood, and it is misunderstood, we want to clear away the confusion. I'll tell you right now, we're not going to cover everything in one night. I'm not even going to try. I'm not going to come close. But this is too important to rush. And in kind of walking through what God actually says, this is probably going to take a couple messages, maybe two or three. And the question we're starting with, the title of the message tonight is simple. Is a simple question. To repent or not to repent, that is the question. And I believe the Bible has a very clear answer. And so we start in Acts 20, verse 21. I'm going to read that verse one more time. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And I just kind of want to begin with talking about the question that we have to answer. When Paul stood before the Ephesian elders, he summarized his entire ministry in one sentence: repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, that's not two different messages, okay? That is one turning, a turning away from whatever we were trusting and toward Christ alone. So it's not repentance towards God and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are two separate things. It's one turning away. Turning away is repenting from something you're turning away from and towards Jesus Christ. And the truth is, a lot of people talk about repentance, but very few people define it. And most of the definitions people argue about aren't even biblical. Can I say that again? A lot of people talk about repentance, few people define it. And too often, and this is the case with a lot of doctrines, but too often, the definitions that they're arguing about aren't even biblical. Some define repentance as quitting sin. Others define it as feeling sorry. Others define it as cleaning up your life. And then you have on the other side, you have people who say repentance has nothing to do with salvation at all. They say repentance is a work. They say it's optional, and they say it's dangerous to preach. But here's the real problem. They define repentance incorrectly, and then they reject the definition they created. That's the problem. You find that with a lot of doctrines. They define repentance incorrectly, and then they reject that definition. And so if you define repentance as stop sinning, then yeah, that would be a work. Right? Right? That would be a work. If repentance means stop sinning, well, that's a work. And then I would reject that. If that's the definition of repentance, I would reject that. But that's not the definition of repentance. And by the way, that would be impossible to stop sinning, right? And so that would be adding human effort to the gospel, but the Bible never defines repentance that way. So that argument collapses before it even starts. If somebody's saying that's what repentance is, then they're just wrong in their definition of it. That's impossible to do anyways, and it would be a work, and it's optional, and it is dangerous to preach, and so I reject that, not because that's the Bible's definition. That is not the Bible's definition. I'm rejecting a man-made definition of what repentance is. Okay? Are you with me? I know this is going to be a little, maybe scholastic tonight, and that's okay. Stay with me. There's heavy application here in a little bit. Paul didn't preach repentance as a work. He didn't preach repentance as a list. you know, this sin and then this sin and then this sin and repent of this one and repent and got to remember all of these sins. That's not what he did. That would be impossible too. He didn't preach repentance as a moral reform. You know, did you notice there in the verse we read? He preached repentance to Jews and Gentiles alike because repentance is part of the gospel call. It's universal. It's necessary. And before we can talk about whether it's necessary for salvation or how we can talk about repentance if it relates to faith, before we talk about that at all, we have to answer the basic question, what does the Bible mean when it uses the word repent? What does it mean? Because if we get the definition wrong, everything else is going to be wrong, right? If we get the definition right, everything else falls into place. So it's a matter of interpretation. It's a matter of the definition of what repentance is. You got to define it. Because it's defined wrong, everything else is out of place. So what repentance is and is not. Maybe that should be the title of the message. The title is to repent or not to repent, that's the question. But what repentance is or is not. I don't know. That might be kind of the direction we're going. He said in Acts 20, verse 21, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. If we're going to understand it, we got a clear way the definitions the Bible never gives. So let's take care of that first of all. Let's talk about the things the Bible doesn't say about it. That's huge. Because repentance is one of those words that people load with meaning that the Bible never intended. And when you load the wrong meaning into the word, you end up rejecting something that God actually commands. So let's just be simple tonight. Repentance is not quitting sin. Repentance is not cleaning up your life. Repentance is not turning over a new leaf. Repentance is not promising God you'll do better. Repentance is not feeling sorry, and it's not crying or being emotional. Repentance is not a list of sins you have to forsake one by one. That is not what the Bible means by repentance. That's not what it means. So when somebody says, repent of your sins, they don't mean make a list of sins to forsake one by one. If repentance means, listen, follow my thinking. If repentance means quitting sin, none of us could repent. If repentance means reforming your life, then salvation would belong only to the strong. If repentance means cleaning yourself up, then Christ died for nothing. It was a waste of time. The loudest error, and I said it once, it's probably going to come up a couple more times. The loudest error today comes from defining repentance incorrectly and then rejecting the definition you came up with. And of course, if it means stop sinning, some would say, well, that's a work. That's a work. True, if that's what it means. Absolutely. But the Bible never defines it that way. So the argument collapses before it even begins. So what does it mean when it speaks of repentance? The New Testament word is metanoeo. Simple, I know we don't speak Greek, but it's a simple word for the Greek. It would be a simple word for us as well. Everyday word that means to change one's mind. That is the literal definition of it, to change one's mind. Not to reform behavior, not to clean up life, not to quit sinning. It means a change of mind that leads to a change of direction. When you change your mind and you follow the action, it does lead to change of direction no matter what it is. I changed my mind about where to eat. And so I changed my mind, so I changed direction as a result of it. A perfect biblical example is the prodigal son. What did Jesus say about him? Jesus said that he came to himself, right? That's repentance. He didn't clean himself up in the process. He didn't clean himself up in the pig pen. He didn't fix his life first. He didn't quit all his sins. He didn't. He simply came to himself. He changed his mind about where he was and turned toward his Father, didn't he? He changed his mind about where he was and turned towards his Father. It's a beautiful picture, by the way. I love it. That's repentance, a change of mind that leads to a turning of the heart. let me picture it this way, a change of mind that leads to a turning of the heart. Okay? It's a change of mind about salvation in regards to what we're talking about tonight. Abandoning every other hope, changing your mind about that, and turning to Christ alone. It's a change of mind about yourself, admitting you can't save yourself, can you? It's a change of mind about Jesus, trusting Him alone as Savior. That's repentance. It's also a change of mind about sin. This is where people get hung up. Not quitting sin, not agreeing with God about it. People hear the phrase, repent of all your sins, and they immediately imagine something the Bible never teaches, like I mentioned before, sitting down with a list or trying to remember every wrong you've ever done and confessing them one by one, like a Catholic penance booth, yeah, whatever. That's what they picture repentance to be. That's not what God intended by it. That's not repentance. That's not the gospel, and that's not what any one and maybe what you might say in our circle of people or in our hymn writers would mean when they write it. When the Bible speaks of repentance, it never tells a sinner to list every sin. It never tells a sinner to remember every sin. It never tells a sinner to name every sin. That's impossible. Repentance is not bringing every sin to mind. Repentance is changing your mind about the sin itself. Are you with me? It's agreeing with God that sin is what He says it is. It's seeing the way God sees it. And it's turning from the idea that sin is harmless or normal or acceptable or anything like that. It is turning from that idea that sin is harmless, normal, or acceptable, and is turning to Christ as the only Savior from sin. That's what repentance is. Even the hymn Long Ago, which some people stumble over, is not talking about listing sins. It's, you look at the context of the entire song, the context of the entire song makes it clear that the writer is talking about the moment somebody comes to Christ in faith. Every verse is all about faith, all about faith, all about faith. And the moment he agreed with God about sin and trusted Christ as Savior. So when he mentions confessing all your sins, he is not talking about listing sins one by one. He's talking about agreeing with God about the sin. And the other verses just put it in context. And I'm not going to waste a lot of time there because it's not inspired, God-inspired, Holy Spirit-inspired song to begin with anyways. But that's what the Bible calls repentance. In the book of Acts, Paul didn't tell the Athenians to list their sins. He said, God now commanded all men everywhere to repent. I laugh because I think about how quickly people misinterpret Scripture. He commands all men everywhere to repent, to change their mind, to turn to God, to abandon their idols, to abandon their work salvation, to trust Christ, to change your mind about your sin and turn to the one who can save you from your sin. It's not a list or some Catholic confessional. It leads to a turning of the heart. Also, repentance is not a fruit of salvation. It's not the result of salvation. No. We'll get into that in a second. But it's the posture of a heart that's turning to Christ. I'm going to say that again. Repentance is the posture of the heart that is turning to Christ. It's not the same thing as faith. But repentance and faith are inseparable. They're inseparable. Listen, Paul didn't preach repentance to Jews and faith to the Gentiles. He preached both to both. Repentance is the turning. Faith is the trusting. Repentance is letting go of what you were holding, and faith is taking hold on Christ. You can't turn to Christ without turning from whatever you were trusting before. And you can't turn from those things without turning to Christ. Repentance and faith aren't two different steps. They are one movement of the heart. My heart was over here. Now it's over here. Turning from, faith is turning to. It's not a work. It's not a work. It's not human effort. It's not self-improvement. It's simply bowing before God and saying, I agree with you. I turn from and I put my faith in you. I'm wrong. God's always right. Turn to you. Acts 17, please. Acts 17, verse 30. There's hundreds of places where we can talk about repentance, literally. I'm not exaggerating on that. But I referenced this verse a minute ago. Acts 17, verse 30. The Bible says, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Now, okay, now what? All men everywhere to repent? Now, see that word? Now what? Commandeth all men everywhere. It's not a suggestion or a preference. That's a command from God himself. And so somebody will say, well, when God's talking about repentance, whether it's Paul or Jesus or whatever, he's talking mostly to Christians, and there is obviously, we've got to repent of our sins, don't we, Christians, to be right with God? Okay, we'll talk about that tonight, maybe another night, but that interpretation collapses the moment you read the context of this passage right here, because Paul is not preaching to believers. Paul is preaching to idolaters. He's preaching to philosophers, mockers. He's preaching to men who worship an unknown God. And so these are not saved men. These are lost men. And God commands them to repent. Some people try to shrink the verse down because they've already decided repentance has nothing to do with salvation. So they redefine the phrase all men everywhere to mean only believers. But he wasn't preaching to believers. He was preaching to lost men who needed to turn to God, who needed to turn from their idolatry and from their sin. And the command is a universal command because the audience is universal. Repentance matters because of some reasons I'm going to give you here that maybe you want to list or whatever. But repentance matters because Jesus preached repentance. We're not getting into all that tonight. We will on another night. But Jesus preached repentance. And then some will say, well, the audience, well before the cross. And we'll get into that. But his first message, his very first message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Right? That was his first message. He didn't begin his ministry with miracles or parables. He began with repentance, not because he wanted people to clean themselves up, but because he wanted them to turn to him. And it was to the Jews at the time. Repentance matters because the apostles preached repentance. Peter preached it at Pentecost. Paul preached it in Athens. Paul preached it in Ephesus. Everywhere the gospel went, repentance went with it. Not as a work, not as a list, was not their intention in it, not as a ritual, but as a heart turning toward God. Repentance matters, third, because faith can't exist without it. If I don't repent of what I once believed, and I think I'm putting faith in Jesus, it doesn't work that way. I can't mix the two. You see what I'm saying? So repentance and faith are not two, they're not two separate steps. Again, it's a turning. It's just one thing. Turning from, turning to. And it's a movement of the heart. Faith is trusting. Repentance is turning. Repentance is letting go. Faith is taking hold. Repentance is agreeing with God. Faith is resting in God. You can't turn to Christ without turning from whatever you were trusting before. Repentance matters because God grants repentance. Go to Acts 11. I love this right here. Acts 11. This is the fifth thing, I think. Maybe the fourth thing. I don't know. It's one of the things. Acts 11:18. When they heard these sayings, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Repentance unto life. He allowed the Gentiles to be saved. And that one verse kind of destroys the idea that repentance is a work. Because you can't work for something God has to give. Did you see what it says? Look what it says. God gave them, verse 17, the light gift as he did unto us. Verse 18, when they heard these sayings, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance. It's something God gave. Repentance is a gift from God. It's something we're enabled to do because of God. It's a grace God gives. It's not a human effort. It's his divine mercy. See, when a sinner repents, it's because God's opened his eyes, awakened him, and drawn him to Christ. And so repentance matters because God grants it. You can't earn something God has to grant. Right? You can't work for something God has to give. Repentance is not something you produce. It's something God produces in you. That's why Paul said in Romans 2 that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Not the fear of hell. The fear of hell didn't lead you to repentance. Maybe it played a factor in it. The strength of your will certainly didn't lead you to repentance. Or the power to resolve. The goodness of God. Because repentance is the mercy of God pulling a sinner away from the cliff and turning his heart towards Christ. And that's why it can't be a work. Because if it were, then salvation would belong to the strong. It belonged to the disciplined. But God grants repentance to the weak. Praise God for that. I'm the weak, the broken, the blind, the guilty, the undeserving. Because repentance is a grace. Repentance is not a work. It's not grit. And when a sinner repents, it's not human effort. I picture it like this. Repentance, I have one hand in faith, the other hand on my works, and repentance is letting go and holding on to God. That's why repentance matters. Because if God grants repentance, then repentance is not something to fear or resist or argue about. It's simple. It's something to receive. It's something to welcome. It's something to receive. It's something to thank God for. God's not making us jump through hoops. He's just opening the door. Somebody might say, well, what about like verses like where the word repentance is not mentioned regarding in salvation? Oh, there's lots of them. There's tons of them. Ephesians 2:8 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. For by grace are you saved through what? Faith. And that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that is the summary of the entire heart response to the gospel. Faith is. Faith isn't bare belief. Faith is not just mental agreement. Faith is the heart turning toward Christ. Right? That's what faith is. And that turning, though, is repentance. When the Bible says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved, it's not excluding repentance. It's assuming it. It's just assumed. You can't believe on Christ without turning to Christ, and you can't turn to him without turning from whatever you were trusting before. Repentance isn't added to faith. Repentance is contained within it. It is the heart movement that makes faith possible. The Bible can speak of salvation sometimes using the word repent, sometimes using the word believe, sometimes or faith, or sometimes both together, because they're not two different responses. Again, it's a turning. It's two sides of the same turning of the heart. Sometimes the Bible says, I'm going to go through this quickly because we're running out of time. Sometimes the Bible says repent. Acts 17:30. Maybe you want to jot this down and look at it. Acts 17:30. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. We just read that. Luke 13, verse 3. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Jesus himself ties not repenting to perishing. Acts 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Peter's first gospel invitation. Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted. Repentance connected to it. They're not two different steps, right? It's not talking about a work. Sometimes the Bible says believe, though. John 3:16. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Belief is the emphasis. But the turning of the heart is assumed. Stay with me. Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Paul gives a simple call. But the turning is assumed in that. If you're going to believe on Christ, you're not believing what you did before. Right? Romans 10:9-10. If thou shalt believe in thine heart. Belief is in the heart. It's heart level, isn't it? It's not mental only. It's not checking off lists or doing any works. And sometimes the Bible says both together. Acts 20:21 is where we started. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul puts them side by side, not as two steps, but as one movement. The Bible is not giving two different plans of salvation. The Bible is giving a heart response. The turning, the trusting, one movement, one response, one salvation. If I said I sat down, I don't have to say I bent my knees and sat down. You assume that, don't you? Because otherwise it'd be falling down. I have to bend my knees to sit down. In the same way, repentance is assumed in the faith. When you turn to Christ, you have repented. When you turn to Christ in faith, you repented. You no longer trusted your salvation. You no longer thought you were okay with your sin. You no longer trusted in your works for salvation, I should say. You no longer thought you were okay with your sin or that sin was okay. You turned from that when you turned to God in faith. Like I said, faith is the hand that takes hold of Christ. Repentance is the hand letting go of everything else. You can't do one without the other. We've been talking about repentance as it relates to salvation. Abandoning every other hope, turning to Christ. When God opens a blind heart, that's what happens. But Christian, if you're saved tonight, say amen. You put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior. That's the way I refer to it all the time, because the repentance barely has to be explained, honestly. It's just no duh. You got to turn from what you once believed and what you once thought. But, Christian, repentance doesn't end at salvation. It doesn't. So you're saved. Once saved, always saved. Amen? Because of your faith. Because of Christ. But once you're in him forever. There's more in this messages to come next time. Maybe next time. One of these times we're going to talk about, the title of the message is going to be When God Repents. When God Repents. I'm excited about that one. So, that in and of itself tells you repentance can't be a work. Right? God doesn't do works. You know, like that. It's not a self-improvement, is what I'm saying. And it's deep, really. It's kind of rich, but knowing me, I'm going to make it super shallow because I can't go too deep. But there is repentance for the Christian, and it's not meant for a salvation, and it's not meant for maintaining your salvation or keeping your salvation. Repentance is not you as a Christian trying to hold on to God for your salvation. It's you as a Christian staying close to the God who already holds you. Did you catch that? Repentance matters for you, Christian, because sin still lies to you. It's not maintaining anything. But the flesh still pulls at you. And every Christian in this room knows what it's like to fight that, knows what it's like to drift. And repentance, Christian, is how you come back to God. How you stay clean, how you walk in the light, and how you keep your fellowship with God. And it matters for you, Christian, because you grow cold. And without it, you grow distant. You grow hard. Complacent. You lose your joy and you lose that connection, that fellowship with God. You don't lose your salvation, but you lose the joy of your salvation. And so repentance for you, Christian, is restoration. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That verse is written to believers. That verse is not written to the unsaved. That book is written to believers. It says, brethren, my little children, people He loves. So if you as a Christian would confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive your sin. Confess means to agree with God. That's what it means. To turn to Him. Turn from what you've been doing as a Christian. You've been living in sin. You've been watching things you shouldn't watch, doing things you shouldn't do, having an attitude about something you shouldn't have an attitude about, neglecting things you should be doing or doing things you shouldn't be doing, and you're repenting of that. You're letting go of that, and you're turning to God for His forgiveness, for His ability to restore you as a father loves His children, puts His arm, receives them as the father did for the prodigal son. Praise God for the gift of repentance. And if you're here tonight and it's a Wednesday night crowd, maybe you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Maybe you never have. Maybe you've been trying to kind of hold on to both, but you're not really turning from. You're not really saying, you know, I agree with God about what I once believed is wrong. I got to believe in the right thing. You're not willing to say that your sins are the reason Jesus died on the cross. Because He died on the cross for your sins. Right? Right? On the cross. Your sin sends you to hell. You got to understand. You got to comprehend. You got to acknowledge that your sin is why He died. Right? And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Again, it's not a list of sins. It's not naming sins. It's not going through. And next week, we'll address the question that somebody might have about, well, what about, you know, maybe I don't understand right now that smoking is wrong. Smoking is a sin. But I put my faith and trust in Christ my Savior, so I don't agree with God about that. No, it's agreeing that you're a sinner, right? It's not listing the sins. You're a sinner. Sin is wrong. Sin has sent you to hell. You are born in sin. You are sin. We're dead in our trespasses and sins. And we realize that, we turn to God for salvation in faith. So to repent or not to repent, that's the question. Truthfully, in my opinion, it's not much of a question. God commands it, preaches it, apostles proclaimed it, God gives it. We have to agree that we need Christ. So whether you need to repent for salvation or repent for fellowship, the invitation is the same. You got to turn to God. Turn to God, Christian. If you're not walking with Him right now, turn to Him.